Our story today takes place in Wichita, Kansas, and it starts with a guy named Bob Lutz.
One day we were talking about this issue on radio. Why aren't more African-American kids playing baseball? Man, it'd be awesome to start a league. And somebody called me after that show and said, you really talk about this a lot. Why don't you do something?
Bob is a former sports writer for 43 years. He's a longtime Wichita area guy, and he runs a youth baseball league in Wichita, Kansas called League 42.
ESPN writer Anthony Oliveri spoke to Bob earlier this spring.
We were able to finally get things rolling pretty good. And we went to the streets to try to recruit enough players to have a league. We ended up with just over 200. We were able to put four teams in each division in four divisions. So we had 16 teams that very first year, which I look back on that as a little bit of a miracle.
One day in late January, he leaves his office and it's, you know, part of his normal practice to look across the street.
For whatever reason, I didn't look over when I pulled in that day, and nobody had. So every day when I leave, I definitely look over because I like seeing the statue.
It's actually a statue of Baseball Hall of Famer and civil rights icon Jackie Robinson, a 6 foot, 265 pound bronze statue.
And I looked over, it was kind of a foggy, rainy day, and I didn't see it. And I kind of squinted my eyes and I just didn't see it. So I called Jacqueline out, to our administrative assistant, to look over. She didn't see it.
So he asked his administrative assistant if she could take a closer look. She does, and she reports back something that he tells me that he could have never fully prepared for.
She went over and checked it out, and she came back with news I had sort of prepared for, but I don't know that I was completely prepared. She said they cut it off at the feet and it was gone.
She told Bob that they had cut the statue off at the feet and it was gone.
It's the crime scene reduced to nothing but a pair of bronze cleats.
The Jackie Robinson statue at McAdams Park stolen by thieves in the middle of the night.
A brazen theft at a public park that for many in Wichita, Kansas, is personal.
They just cut that beautiful statue off at the feet and loaded it into a pickup truck.
It was heartbreaking. I cried and I was emotional and I was at a point where I wondered if this was worth it.
Today, Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play in a Major League Baseball game. It's a story we all know well, and one that is held in the highest esteem across the United States. Robinson's bravery is celebrated with murals, plaques, and statues all over this country, including a statue that stood at a youth baseball field in Wichita, Kansas. Until it didn't. So today, ESPN staff writer Anthony Oliveri tells us what happened and explains how a community can recover from such a wild crime. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Monday, April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day. This is ESPN Daily. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely. Drink wisely. ESPN's Anthony Oliveri spent weeks seeking to understand how the disappearance of League 42's Jackie Robinson statue impacted the Wichita community. Last week, Anthony shared the details of his reporting with ESPN Daily producer Alex Hyacinth. Here's their conversation.
All right, Anthony, I want to start with a question here because, look, Wichita is not a Major League Baseball city. And when you think about Jackie Robinson, you think about Brooklyn, Los Angeles, maybe even Georgia, where he grew up. So it's kind of surprising to know that there's a bronze statue of him there in Kansas. But I understand that the reason it's there is very much tied up in Bob Lutz's plan to start a youth baseball league. So explain how the league came together in the first place.
Jackie Robinson didn't have a direct connection to Wichita itself. He had played for the Kansas City Monarchs in the Negro Leagues. Kansas City is about 3 hours or so away. So Bob Lutz hosts a radio show in the Wichita area. And for years and years, he would have a conversation about African-American participation in baseball and how that had declined over the years. It was a really passionate topic for him.
I've always felt like every kid, every person should have the opportunity to play baseball. And that wasn't happening. And it was becoming more and more a kind of a country club sport. One day we were talking about this issue on radio. Why aren't more African-American kids playing baseball? Man, it'd be awesome to start a league. And somebody called me after that show and said, you really talk about this a lot. Why don't you do something?
So he founded the league in 2013, and it was really, really a true grassroots operation from the start.
And so at one of our meetings early on, second or third meeting, what are we going to call this league? And boy, there were just some ideas out there that really didn't resonate. Finally, somebody said, why don't we honor Jackie Robinson? And almost before he got that last syllable out, call it League 42. And I've said this to many people. It was like a lightning bolt. Like, that's our name.
They decided to land on League 42 after the number that Jackie Robinson wore.
So naming the league after Jackie would eventually inspire the statue. We'll talk more about that part of it in a moment. But say more about why connecting the league to Jackie was so important to Bob.
I think it was important for him to name the league after Jackie because Jackie Robinson was a civil rights icon, and he stood for everything that Bob Lutz stood for in creating this league. He wanted to create opportunity for the kids in that neighborhood to be able to play. This community, it's a low-income community. The median household income is just over $30,000. Two-thirds of the kids in the league are Black and Latino.
You know, we have four education initiatives on top of the baseball. You saw our indoor baseball facility.
Yeah.
We just want our kids to have a great place. You know, they can go to improve their baseball skills, their reading skills, their math skills. Mm-hmm. They can learn about passion, be around these people, and develop relationships with them. We're just getting our feet under us.
Ultimately, how did they get this statue built, Anthony? Can you take me through the process?
Yeah, so it was a 6-foot, 265-pound statue. And it was also important to Bob because John Parsons, who's Bob's longtime friend, he was a sculptor who was commissioned to make the statue. He made the mold for the statue. And Bob told me several times how much that it meant to him that his longtime friend was able to do this.
So John and I started talking about this long ago. What would it take to make a Jackie Robinson statue? He'd never done a likeness before. He'd done lots of bronze sculptures, but never a likeness. So he set out on that process, found a photo he liked.
It's called a bronze statue, six feet and 265 pounds of bronze. However, I talked to the general manager of Art Castings of Colorado, which is essentially the company that made the statue. The sculptor, John Parsons, made the mold, and this company in Colorado actually went through the process to make the statue. And the GM of that company, Tony Workman, tells me that the bronze is made out of 95% copper.
What role did the Robinson family play in this? I know, you know, this is the legacy of one of the great American civil rights icons. Did the Robinson family kind of chime in to make sure it met their standards?
Yeah, so there was a slew of different stakeholders, including League 42's board of directors and Jackie Robinson's family and name, image, and likeness representatives related to Robinson. He had to convince all of those stakeholders that the statue should be built.
It was an interesting process to get it done, but we can't be League 42 without a Jackie statue.
What was the process for with the name, image, and likeness folks?
And they just said, yeah, we see it, we like it, go for it. And we didn't have many hang-ups with them, so that was good.
Parsons, who was the sculptor, and Bob Lutz went to Robinson's family literally with the latest rendering of the statue as they went about it. The go-between was Sharon Robinson, who's Robinson's daughter, and Sharon would take it to Rachel Robinson, who is Jackie Robinson's now 101-year-old widow. And Rachel Robinson went back and forth with Lutz and Parsons several times.
We were in contact with Sharon Robinson, Jackie's daughter, quite frequently during that process. And she would always take the latest model and show it to Rachel. And Rachel never really signed off. So we kept working on it. And eventually, John heard from Sharon that Rachel would like the face to have a bigger smile. And so John put a bigger smile on the statue, sent it to Sharon. She showed it to Rachel, and Rachel signed off.
So that's how the statue gets there. That's how it's manufactured, and that's how it lands outside the League 42 headquarters. But let's get back to January of this year. How did Bob react when he realized that this statue that had been erected was gone?
His immediate reaction was to cry.
This is the kind of stuff that will drive me out, because I don't have the wherewithal to withstand this kind of stuff.
And so he was thinking about all these things while he thought about the statue, because the statue had been a symbol of what he had built for the league.
It was heartbreaking. I cried and I was emotional, and I was at a point where I wondered if this was worth it. And it took me a few days to come out of that.
So while Bob is understandably working through his emotions, the police are presumably trying to figure out what exactly happened to the statue. What did they learn?
About 12 hours before Lutz actually found that the statue was missing, this was just after midnight on January 25th, there was some surveillance video from League 42's headquarters that showed what police later identified as a gray 2008 GMC Sierra. And the truck was backing up alongside a curb that's between Lutz's office and the field, which is 17th Street. I was able to obtain a police affidavit that said that the driver of that truck never got out of the truck, but there were two other men who removed the statue using what police believe was a concrete saw before tipping it over and carrying it to the bed of the truck. And then days later, on January 30th, there was a man who identified himself as a city employee named Jason Hale. He called 911, and we obtained the 911 phone call.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
I work for the city of Wichita, and we're here trimming some trees up, and there's a trash can that's on fire, and it's all melting down. And right.
And he reported that there was a fire in a trash dumpster in another park, 7 miles away from McAdams Park, where the statue was stolen.
So I don't know if it'll spread or not, but they melted the whole trash can. It's just burning in the middle of the ground here, so I need somebody to come at least.
Police said they found parts of the statue in the dumpster.
By the time the fire department gets there, it's been engulfed in flames, and it's melted into virtually a pile of rubbish. They spray the smoldering pile of nothing out, and then they see that there's items in there.
Was the motivation here just to vandalize the statue? Like, you stole it. Why is it popping up on fire in a dumpster several days later?
The motivation for why it was done is still unclear. That's still part of the ongoing investigation. However, through talking to the prosecutor, the city of Wichita, like many other places around the country, has had a huge problem with scrap metal. Police said that there is no evidence to say that it was a hate-motivated crime. They believe it to be a scrap metal motivated crime. I actually sat in the police station and talked directly to one of the Wichita police sergeants who's in charge of the larceny investigation.
It just shows you the mentality of these people. Get rid of it at any chance they possibly can, now that they know that the whole world's coming down on them.
Yeah.
And they burn it up just as it was trash.
But when I also spoke to Bob Kendrick, who's the president of the Negro Leagues Museum, he sort of described it as a hate crime in its own way.
It may not be a racially motivated hate crime, but it's still a hate crime, you know, in its own way. Because, you know, that was a dastardly kind of thing to do. Whatever your motivation was, if you're selling it for scrap metal or whatever it might be, if that was your thought process, it was still a very evil thing to do.
Just the way that this statue was treated, a statue of someone as accomplished and beloved as Jackie Robinson, to do what people did with it, steal it, and just cast it aside, even if it's not a race motivated hate crime, it's still a hate crime in its own way.
That statue was a tremendous symbol. It was a symbol of hope. It was there to capture the spirit of what Jackie Robinson represented. And for so many of those kids, you've got to try and explain this to them, why somebody would come in and steal Jackie.
Coming up, more with Anthony Oliveri as the League 42 community tries to recover. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Anthony, let's get back to Bob Lutz, the founder of League 42, the man who discovered that the statue was missing, and the man who it feels almost like most personally affected by all of this. The theft of this statue obviously devastated him. You've described that. He had gone through and communicated with the police. Kind of what happened with Bob after things started moving here?
Well, his first reaction was like, man, I want to quit. He said that he went and actually thought about Jackie Robinson himself and said, Jackie Robinson wouldn't want you to react like this.
Look at the adversity he faced and that he overcame.
And so Bob kind of thought about, all right, as compared to what Jackie Robinson went through, this isn't so bad at all. And this is something that I could actually push through.
If he had bailed at the first sign of this kind of adversity, we wouldn't be telling his story, we'd be telling Larry Doby's story or somebody else who broke that color barrier. We chose to be named League 42. We didn't do that lightly. So if we're gonna live up to those standards, then we need to live up to those standards.
I want to piggyback kind of on what Bob Kendrick told you, that regardless of whether or not this was a racially motivated crime, it was just kind of an atrocious thing to do to a community. Bob Lutz is one of the leaders in this community. You know, how did he react to that same sentiment?
Well, he reacted as if somebody literally broke into his house and stole the statue.
That statue has come to mean so much to us and our families and our kids, and so it was like this personal affront. It was like, wait a minute, you've broken into my house to take this isn't my statue, but in some ways I felt like it was our statue.
Yeah. He felt that somebody had, you know, literally taken it from him and all the people that he's with on a daily basis. You know, he took a step back and he said he wants to use the opportunity to talk to the kids about what happened.
We got to educate better. What we're trying to do with our kids is to make sure we never have anybody who goes through League 42 who would commit a crime like that. Trying to use this very strong setback as an opportunity to teach.
And he actually used the word silver lining because the league itself has had a lot of donations and a lot of money flowing into it after this became a national news story.
Yeah, let's focus in on that silver lining, because I remember seeing headlines of this and almost instantly seeing words of support and promises of financial backing to make this right. How does League 42, how does Bob Lutz, how does this segment of the Wichita community move forward from here? Is there a way to get this statue replaced?
They are rebuilding the statue, and MLB has pledged to give $100,000 for the rebuilding of the statue, and that includes some security and different ways to secure it. And Bob told me recently that he actually already has the $100,000 check in hand from Major League Baseball. But there was also a GoFundMe page that was set up right after this crime happened that was set up by the league, raised nearly $200,000 before it was closed on February 5th. And that was less than 2 weeks from when the statue went missing. And that's not it. There were other donations. There was an anonymous former Major League Baseball player who donated $10,000. They had a PayPal account that people just sent money to, and that accumulated about $35,000. Lutz estimates that League 42 received as much as $600,000 in total in the wake of the theft.
Here, I want to stop down and let people know that they can go to league42.org and take a look at this. And if they're so inclined, help with this process here. There's a character in this that can't speak anymore about this, and that's John Parsons. He passed away in recent years. He's the one that designed the initial statue. Is there any way for this statue to be what it was before?
Yeah, so the statue, as far as I understand it, is going to be a replica of the original statue. They're going to take Parsons' mold, send that mold back to Art Castings of Colorado, and they're going to use that original mold. And Tony Workman, who's the GM of that company, of that foundry, said that they'll reach completion on that process at some time in the summer. And Bob tells me that right now this is not finalized, but they're looking at August 8th as a date for when the statue will be rebuilt, and there likely will be reinstalled on the pedestal, and there likely will be some sort of ceremony at that time.
So at the end here, Anthony, you mentioned an early August date being the target for the statue, the new statue being reinstalled at the ballpark. But today is Jackie Robinson Day. Did anybody you spoke to, League 42, Bob Lutz, the city of Wichita itself, Did they talk about kind of plans to kind of commemorate Jackie Robinson in the wake of this heinous crime, as it was described?
Yeah. So shortly after the crime happened, there was a conversation between Bob Lutz and Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Museum. And they talked about taking the bronze cleats that were left on the pedestal when the statue was cut and removed and donating them to the Negro Leagues Museum. So Bob actually drove those cleats on April 11th to the museum, and the plans are right now that the cleats will be displayed with other Jackie Robinson things that are, you know, in the Negro Leagues Museum. And one of those things is actually a historical marker from Robinson's birthplace in Georgia, and that marker was damaged by gunfire in 2021 and was also donated to the museum. So when I talked to Bob Kendrick about the cleats being donated, he said they wanted to put the cleats with the marker because there's a larger story that they're trying to tell.
It's truly an American icon. And as I share with people, for those who don't believe that one person can invoke change, all you have to do is look no further than Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that legacy is what is being shared. The courage, the fortitude, everything that he had to deal with the kind of adversity that he had to deal with socially, racially, but also the fact that he was carrying, as we talk about here, 21 million black folks on his back. You had an entire race of people that was counting on him to succeed. Yeah. So he's shouldering it on both sides, and he did it so courageously, demonstrating tremendous strength beyond, I think, most of our capacities to even begin to imagine.
Anthony, thanks for your reporting and for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Anthony and Alex for having this conversation. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.